So we find ourselves post Labor Day in Columbus,
Hard
Indiana.
To believe. Yeah. We're 9 months
September,
in almost.
And yeah. It feels like September a little bit.
A little bit. It's still pretty warm, but it's starting to dry out.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. I just have to start with, of course, the big event, Exhibit Columbus, which everyone's talking about.
Right.
It's a big deal. It's annual, but this year have the exhibits throughout
right.
the city.
We work on Exhibit Columbus all the time, but the exhibits come out every other year. So it's biennial, whatever you call it. And we've got about 10 or more exhibits that are spread throughout downtown Columbus. We've got one up at the North Christian Church. It's kind of interesting. But it's an opportunity for us to sort of explore, you know, some different takes on architecture. And this year's focus is more towards landscape. So we've got some cornfields and some arborvitae hedges and some different things that are outdoors that's to, you know, make people think a little bit differently about design.
And for those who don't know who this, for those that don't know what this is, people from all over the world can apply to build these, right?
We've got three applicants who came from Mexico, you know, so we had an opportunity here a little bit over a week ago to have a presentation. It was mostly in Spanish. I spoke, that part was not in Spanish, but I had an interpreter, and it was really kind of neat to see what, you know, their views are with respect to architecture and urban landscapes.
And they're temporary for the most part, but people can come and get maps and then visit the city and look at all the exhibits.
Yeah, you can stop here at City Hall, you could go to the Visitor Center. There are a few other places around town where you can pick up a map and a brochure that kind of explains, you know, what's where, and then a little bit of background about the idea that the designer had and the designer him or herself. So it's really an opportunity to get out and explore downtown Columbus and not only see the displays that have come up now, but, you know, just what we have on a regular basis.
And there are 18, I believe, installations.
So there are, sounds about right.
There are a few. One an IU professor, so they're not all from over. There's some local, too.
Yeah, there are a variety of educational institutions, architectural programs, as I said, a couple from Mexico, and but most of them domestic, yeah.
What does something like this do, though, for the community, people who live here?
Well, I think you know, what we saw 2 years ago when we did this the first time was a renewed sense of appreciation for the architecture that exists here in this community. It's very easy to get, for everything to become accustomed, right? I've always seen the North Christian Church, it's always there. I've always seen the First Christian Church, it's always there, the library and so forth. And so it's an opportunity for people to realize that this really is a special community from a number of perspectives. And to see the interest that others have in coming here and displaying their work is a point of pride, you know, for all of us in the community, as well as just a different take. I mean, just a different way to look at the same thing you see every day, but, you know, from another perspective. Somebody else looked at it and they saw something different that perhaps you hadn't been previously. And so it's an opportunity for you to have a little academic exploration as well.
And you have to think that the community gets behind this in the fact that they're seeing more visitors strolling, taking photos downtown, and there's a sense of pride, I would assume, with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you're a resident of Columbus, as I have, you've been here forever, you sometimes wonder, why is anybody, you know, coming here? Why do they think this is special? Well, it is, you know, and it's good for us to recognize that.
Now, I see that Columbus Bike Program is free through the end of October, so people can pick up a bike and ride for a couple hours to see, because they're spread out all over the city.
Yeah, most of them are in the downtown area, but there are a few that are, you know, several blocks away. So we decided to make the bike program free so that it just enables people to get around a little bit easier.
Overall, the bike share program, that just started within the last year or so, didn't it?
No, bike share has been around for, several years. I'm drawing a blank on just when. But it's been around for a while.
Maybe I just felt like you announced that recently, but time goes by so quickly that it's been a few years. Has that program been working out effectively?
Not really.
No.
You know, we just
no.
haven't really gotten the volume of activity that we thought we could get out of that. And so, I think we're going to have some tough decisions to make with respect to whether it goes forward. Because you've got a significant investment in the bicycles themselves and in the people who move them around. I mean, to the extent that they've been rented, and left at certain places. I mean, we don't allow people just to leave them on the sidewalk. I mean, they have to be checked in. But nonetheless, you can end up with too few bikes in some places and too many in others. And so it's important for us to sort of sort that out. And that requires a person. And we're required to pay that person. So, there's some costs associated with maintaining the program that You know, you really have to question whether at this point the ridership is where it needs to be to warrant going forward.
I see where the city is getting ready to apply for the riverfront project. You've been working on this for a long time, but a lot of this goes through the DNR because you're talking about a major Indiana waterway. So can you give us a little bit of an update on what's happening now?
Well, we continue to work. We will have a formal submission that will go in sometime around the middle of October. When this will be prepared or will be submitted with some assistance that we've received from DNR over the last couple of years about what they want to see, you know, in this kind of an in-river enhancement. You know, part of what we found that, you know, is a little bit surprising to us is that we're pretty early with respect to trying to utilize our waterway. You know, there are a few other communities in Indiana that have tried to embrace their waterway, but again, we're a little bit further ahead, and I think it's been a bit of a challenge for the Department of Natural Resources to, you know, sort of understand that people want to get in the water, they don't want to just be on it, and so we've had some interesting conversations, and I think we'll have a few more before we're done.
And there's a new design, or the design has changed from what I saw.
It's been tweaked a number of times.
Yeah.
We've redesigned the program four times, so if you count the initial, I mean, that's five designs that we've put forward. And the whole notion is to try to be responsive to wildlife, in particular the fish that, you know, some fish like fast water, some fish like slow water. We have raccoons and possums and things that dwell along the sides of the river. And what we want to be able to do is provide passageways for them. At the same time, from time to time, the Department of Natural Resources wants to be able to navigate through this area. They can't navigate now, but they say if we're going to get in there and start tinkering with it, well, they'd like to have the opportunity to do that. So, you know, our designers have been able to, you know, we think, accommodate what their requests have been, along with our own, in terms of being able to engage the river in some kind of meaningful fashion. You know, in Columbus or in Indiana, we don't have seashores, we don't have mountains, but we do have some rivers that that can be fun. And so we want to try to find a way to incorporate that into the life here in Columbus. Because, you know, for years, I mean, better part of a century, we've turned our back to the river. I mean, we've allowed all the vegetation to grow up around it to where you can't see it. If you come to Columbus and take a look at how the courthouse is situated, it's a pretty stark depiction of how we view the river. I mean, the back of the courthouse faces the water. The front of the courthouse faces, you know, northeast, where most of the growth of the city has been for the last century and a half. And so what we want to try to do is to reverse that a little bit, get people focused on the water. I think it'll be a meaningful enhancement for the community, but there's some growing pains associated with that. And so, we'll file our formal submission sometime around the middle of October, and we'll see where it goes from there.
And I know cost, too, is going to be a big deal. I mean, this is not a cheap project, right?
It's not cheap. And, you know, some of the enhancements or some of the changes that we've made, redesigns that we've made, have added to cost. Some have decreased the cost. So, you know, you win some, you lose some. But, you know, the last time we priced it out was about 2 years ago. So I anticipate that some of the costs have increased since then. But at the same time, it may well be another 2 years before we get to build it. I mean, it's just one of those deals that, you know, we have gotten ourselves into. And so prices may have come back down by then. It's very affected by the economy and how busy the contractors are. And right now, today, you know, contractors are pretty busy. But this will, when it's bid, it will be bid out, you know, a year or so into the future. So, you know, we'll just have to wait to see.
And just some early numbers were what, around, was
well,
it
we're
20
still
million?
No. We're still in the eights.
Eight million.
Eight point
okay.
Something. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. More into the 30 million was the big railway overpass
exactly.
Project.
Yeah.
And that's the State Road 46, State Road 11 overpass. And I think last time we talked about environmental studies, and those are starting to wrap up.
Yeah, those are complete, and you know, we've satisfied all the issues that we have there. We were joking about finding Indian heads or, you know, something along that line, but no, there's been no holdup, you know, that project will go to bid. I want to say it'll be late October. But they're already out there today moving, you know, utility poles, you know, out of the way. The Indiana Department of Transportation has ownership of the project, and they have completed all the land acquisition that they need. There were a few billboards that they had to purchase, and so that's all been done. And like I say, the next step will be just to let the roadway contract.
So these are the bids being asked for by construction contractors to actually complete the process?
Yeah, I understand that there'll be two bids, one for the bridge that will go over the railroad and go over State Road 11, and then another for the roadway that will, you know, meet on either side. And yeah, those will be let sometime in, or put out for bid sometime in mid-October.
You know, the city's been making some news on banning vaping or e-cigs, and you know, the numbers too we just saw aren't good. Youth vaping rates rising by 300%, but you're kind of, or at least Columbus is trying to take a little bit of a proactive approach to this.
We are. You know, we sort of tend to think of vaping, or I do at least, as you know, cigarette consumption. You know, I don't see a whole lot of difference between the two. But apparently, you know, some people try to declare a distinction there. And what we wanted to make it clear was that no, we're not in favor of any kind of smoking, whether it's electronic or the real deal. You know, so yeah, City Council made a statement with respect to that.
Although the vape shops are going to be exempt.
I think we'll end up with an exemption for that. Today they are not. But we delayed implementation of the rules for, I want to say, 60 days to allow for us to come up with some language that would allow allow you to vape in a establishment that sells, you know, that kind of activity. And it's not a whole lot different than allowing somebody who smokes cigars to, you know, smoke in a cigar shop. But yeah, we'll come forward with something along that line. And I want to say it'll be the middle of November-ish by the time that comes forward.
So Indiana lawmakers are grappling with this too statewide. There was a bill to impose a tax on liquids used in e-cigs, and it never went forward. And you know, one of those that will probably come back up again and again. Do you think Indiana lawmakers need to pass some statewide legislation on this?
You know, I'm not familiar with the legislation you talk about, but I do think it would be helpful if we could just have one set of rules statewide. Particularly on this issue, that way there'd just be a whole lot less confusion, you know, about what you can do and where you can do it.
From what I've understand, maybe you can fill me in a little bit more. There was some contaminated land that the city purchased for Parks and Rec Department, and there's some confusion or some trying to figure out who's going to be responsible to clean that up.
Yeah.
IDEM says the company that ran in there, in the 1970s, there were some changes in ownership, and so that they can't be responsible for cleanup?
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, you know, the company that you're talking about is Machinery Moving, and it's owned by an aunt of mine, and so I'm completely out of it. I've totally recused myself from that activity, and all I know about it's what I read in the papers. So I have to leave it with that.
Yeah, I knew that the land was owned by your aunt.
Yes.
I didn't realize the company as well.
Well, the land and the building are owned by the company, and okay. She owns the stock in the company.
I see.
That's my understanding of the way that works. So she continues to deal with our Parks Department, and they do all that without any input from me.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate
You
know, you've got to take that kind of a step backwards, but I think it's good for all concerned for everybody to realize that I have no input into the transaction one way or the other.
Right. Now, I know last month you couldn't talk about this, and it was the lawsuit with former Mayor Kristen Brown, and that's been settled now. I'm sure you're glad that that's passed, but is there anything more that you can say about the city's involvement with that lawsuit and why it got to that point?
Well, it got to that point because she wouldn't settle. You know, we gave her the documents that she requested. She said the documents were inadequate, so we made we corrected the inadequacies, and she was happy for that. But what she wanted was us to take a step further and to admit that we'd been willful and intentionally withheld information from her, and that we were unprepared to do. Unfortunately, given the way the legal system works, it took a while, you know, for that to work its way out. And in the end, that's what the judge said, you know, that we were not willful, and so he did not find that, that charge was substantiated, you know. So we're glad to have it behind us, glad to have it settled, disappointed that we even got, you know, into it in the first place, but, you know, those things happen.
Budget time.
Yeah.
I assume we're working on next year's budget. It's what I'm hearing from all the mayors.
We are.
any changes? The one thing that kind of popped out for me that I read about were salary increases.
Right. A couple of years ago, we did a salary study. You know, part of what we realized was that even within the city, we had, I'll pick on janitors, for instance, because they just come to mind, but we might have a janitor in one department and making significantly different money from a janitor in another department. And you've got those situations that have sort of grown up over the years, and the question is, whether is that really fair? And do we want to give people an incentive to leave from one department within the city and transfer to another department within the city, do the same job but make more money? And our thought was that no, that really didn't make sense. Secondly, we find ourselves in a very competitive environment. You know, one of the things we talk about often throughout Indiana is the low unemployment rate. And part of what that means is that there's industry out there that are very happy to poach some of our people. And particularly in the police and fire areas, there are other police and fire departments that are, you know, very interested in trying to poach our people. And so part of what is our responsibility is to pay fairly, and pay fairly with respect to what the market is. So we commissioned a study, paid for a human resources firm to come in and help us understand, you know, what the appropriate pay would be for all city positions. And it's a little bit more involved than what you might think, because you go to some communities, a city planner first class is paid more than a city planner second class, and in other cities it's reversed. You know, and so part of what the consultant had to do was to sort through the job descriptions as well as just the job titles. And so it's fairly expensive. It spent about $50,000 plus, it was very time consuming, 9 to 12 months. But once we sort of got the answer, it gave us a little clearer roadmap as to where we ought to go. And so we decided that with respect to public safety personnel, police and fire, we would implement the results within 2 years, or over a 2 year period. With all other personnel, we would do it over 3. And we're now in the second year, so it's year 2 and final year for the public safety personnel, and then year 2 and in the middle year for all others. And so the last number, if I remember correctly, it's going to be about a $750,000 adjustment for us for this year, for 2020, to implement year 2, you know, the salary study. But I think it's the right thing to do. You know, we have begun to see some things that we hadn't previously with respect to an uptick in responses to job openings. You know, right now, knock on wood, our police department has no vacancies. You know, and that's a place we haven't been for a number of years. And so we feel like we've sort of started things in the right direction. And so that's going to consume a majority of the inflationary increase that we hope to see, you know, as part of this year's budget. The second thing we're going to tackle is also personnel, human resource related, and that's our health insurance fund. You know, we've just had some bad luck, you know, the last several years. And so, you know, the fund has declined, and we need to add back to it and increase the amount we were setting aside per employee per year. So we intend to make that part of the budget proposal also.
All right. Well, before we go, I know you mentioned that some proposals should be either due, or you're asking for the mall redevelopment.
Right. Right. Yeah, I'll try to. They've got a lot going on, so I have to run back through my head. But we will meet again with the consultants that we've hired for the mall. MKSK is their name, and I want to say the next meeting is October 8th. Could be the 10th, but it's sometime. I think it's October 8th. And the whole notion is to try to determine what we can reasonably accommodate at the mall. I mean, there's been no shortage of advice. I mean, no shortage of suggestions that we've received and things that we could do up there. But we've got a couple basic tenets that we want to follow through on. We know, number one, there will continue to be a retail component. The Dunham's lease lasts for, you know, a number of years yet. And we think that it makes sense for us to have a food court, some kinds of activities for people to do, you know, say in between games kind of thing. Not that that's everything's going to be a game or a competition up there. We also know that CRH, Columbus Regional Health, you know, they're in for 25%, and they've got some really interesting ideas about what they'd like to do up there from, you know, either clinical perspective or, you know, physician practice perspective. They've got, you know, we've got our Parks Department offices, which are presently at Donner Park. The Donner Center area building where that's located has got quite a bit of age on it, 75 years or so, and there are some significant structural issues that relate to that building, which aren't necessarily apparent when you look at it, but a good section of that building has a concrete roof that doubles as bleachers, you know, for events at the pool. And you can just about imagine a concrete roof that's 70 years old. I mean, all the things that you would think of are occurring up there. So it's a long-winded way of saying we've got a number of things to sort through in terms of what kind of uses we want to try to accommodate at the mall, but it's a great problem to have. I'm really excited about being able to expand our sports and recreational activities there. I mean, the last significant improvement that we made to our park system was back in the 90s when they rebuilt Mill Race Park. And so this is, and since that time, I think the population of the city has almost doubled. So this is an opportunity for us to take a significant chunk of land in the center part of our city and devote it to an activity that we all get to use. And so we're kind of excited about that. But yeah, October 8th will be the next public event on that subject.
And you're looking for proposals from whom?
Well, what we're looking for is some concept designs from MKSK. That's the firm. We already received proposals on, conceptual design firms, and they're the ones we chose. And they're taking right now a bunch of input from citizens as well as, focus groups, stakeholder groups, that kind of thing, as to, what makes sense to put up there and what we may not be able to accommodate, because we're going to have to make some choices. It sounds like a lot. I mean, 35, 36 acres and 400,000 square feet. But once you start carving it up, yeah, it goes pretty quickly. So we'll have some decisions to make. But we'll have a little bit of that to talk about again in the October meeting, and kind of look forward to it. It's an exciting time.
All good?
All good.
All right. Thank you.